Our scripture for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. We're going to begin with the 25th verse. I think it might be on the screen. Is it going to be on the screen?
No.
Then listen as I read from God's Word. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." This is the word of the Lord. Well, Jeff Hill, you don't know him, he works for IBM. But like many people nowadays, he works from home. And working from home, he says he needs a professional-sounding voicemail greeting so everyone will know he's hard at work. Now, while he was recording a new message one morning, Jeff's wife was across the hall from his office folding clothes with their 6-year-old daughter who had just come out of the shower. Okay. Jeff's professional message ended up sounding like this. "Hi, this is Jeff Hill with IBM. Look at you, you have no clothes on. I'm not available right now." Well, maybe Jeff's message didn't convey what he meant to convey, but it brings us to our question for the day. Are you available? Are you available? This is where the rubber hits the road for a Christian. Are you available? Frederick Buechner tells about his wife's great-grandfather, a man named George Shinn. Now, Shinn was a pastor back in the 1880s. He was summoned one midnight to the bedside of an old woman who lived by herself. She had little money and few friends, and she was dying. She told Shinn that she wanted another woman to come and stay with her for the time that she had left. So Shinn and the old woman's doctor struck out in the darkness to try to dig up one for her. It sounds like a parable, the way it's told. They knocked at doors and threw pebbles at second-story windows. One woman said she couldn't come because she had children. Another said she simply wouldn't know what to do, what to be in a crisis like that. Another was suspicious of the two men prowling around at that hour of night and wouldn't even talk to them. But finally, as the memoir of Dr. Shinn puts it, they rapped at the humble door of an Irish woman, the mother of a brood of children, and she put her head out of the window. "Who's there?" she said, "and what can you want at this time of night?" And they tell her the situation, and her warm Irish heart cannot resist. "Will you come?" They said, "Sure, I'll come. I'll do the best I can." And she did come. She did the best she could. The woman was willing. She was available. Is there any better word in our vocabulary? Available. It means, I'm here when you call. I'm ready, willing, and able. Great crowds were following Jesus. He turned around and he said to them, "Anyone who wants to be my follower must love me far more than he does his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, or sisters." Yes, more than his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus was asking, "Are you available? Can I count on you? Are you ready to do your part?" There are plenty of people who are curious, some who are genuinely interested, but only a few who will make themselves available. So how about you? Can Christ count on you? Are you available? Are you available to walk in the steps of the Master? That's the first question we must ask ourselves. Christ doesn't ask us to do anything he hasn't done himself. Are we ready to walk where he has walked? When Jesus said that we must love him more than we love our family and friends, we remember that time when Jesus' family came to take him home. They were concerned for his well-being. But Jesus asked, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then he answered his own question. He pointed to his disciples. He said, "Look, these are my mother and my brothers." And then he added, "And anyone who obeys my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother." Did Jesus not care about his mother and brothers? Well, yes, he cared, but he couldn't let his love for them keep him from his mission. Don't you think that he was tempted in this, as the shadows of the cross grew darker around him, to leave it all and go back to the security of his home in Nazareth? Of course he was. But he had a higher calling, and he couldn't let his love for his immediate family stand in the way. That's a choice that courageous people sometimes have to make. Each summer, in Cherokee, North Carolina, America's most popular outdoor drama called Unto These Hills tells the thrilling story of Sally, a Cherokee Indian brave. In 1838, 17,000 Cherokee Indians were forced by General Winfield Scott to journey en masse in awful conditions from western North Carolina to Oklahoma. More than 4,000 perished on that terrible trail of tears. Some 1,000 Indians, however, had hidden in the Great Smoky Mountains, and one of these was Sally. Sally's wife had been murdered by a drunken U.S. soldier, who in turn was killed by Sally and his kinsmen. Consequently, Sally escaped into the depths of America's greatest virgin forest. And eventually a trusted friend of Sally transmitted Scott's compromise proposal. If Sally and his kin would surrender to be shot, the remainder of the tribe could stay in the beautiful land of their birth. After days of anguish Sally, with his sons and brother-in-law, walked unescorted into a nearby town to face certain death. What brought him? White soldiers never could have found him in his cave near Klingman's Dome in the Smokies. Despite a burning desire to live, love for his people brought him to die. At the last moment, his youngest son was saved from the firing squad by the tears of a woman missionary who was standing nearby. No such luck for Tsali. The rifles rang out and three men died, but 1,000 Cherokees were free to remain in the Great Smoky Mountains. Tsali was available for his people. Greater love hath no man than this, says John's Gospel, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Sometimes we're compelled by a greater love than that for our mothers and brothers and spouses. And in the same way that Tsali gave up his life for his people, Christ was available for you and for me. And he asks us to do no more than he has already done. Are you available to walk in his footsteps? Are you available to suffer the possible consequences of discipleship? Jesus said, "And no one can be my disciple who does not carry his own cross and follow me." Generally, we're not a people who are willing to make sacrifices. I know there are exceptions, but as a whole, we become a people in love with comfort. We drive comfortable automobiles. We live in comfortable houses, and we even worship in comfortable churches. Doesn't it concern you that at times perhaps we have chosen the wide gate and not the narrow one, the easy road and not the road that leads to life? Chun Singhiahara was born on a day of new beginnings, January 1st, 1900. And as a boy, he cherished the dream of becoming a Japanese ambassador to Russia. And by the 1930s, he was the ambassador to Lithuania, just a step away from that role in Russia. And one morning, a huge throng of people gathered outside his home. They were Jews who had made their way across treacherous terrain from Poland, desperately seeking his help. They wanted Japanese visas, which would enable them to flee Eastern Europe and the Gestapo. Three times, Sugihara wired Tokyo for permission to provide those visas, and three times he was rejected. He had to choose between the fulfillment of his dream as an ambassador to Russia and the people's lives. And he chose the latter. He dared to disobey orders. For 28 days he wrote visas by hand, barely sleeping or eating. Recalled to Berlin, he was still writing visas and shoving them through the train windows into the hands of the refugees who ran alongside. And ultimately, he saved 6,000 lives. Sugihara was not only a courageous Japanese, he was a committed Christian. He spent his remaining days in Japan, humbly selling light bulbs. And when his story was finally told, his son was asked, "How did your father feel about this, his choice?" And the young man replied, "My father's life was fulfilled when God needed him to do the right thing. He was available to do it." There's that word again, available. It takes courage to be available. It takes compassion. It takes commitment. Are you willing to walk in Christ's steps? Are you willing to suffer the possible consequences? And one more thing. Are you available to tell the story? Why is it that we as committed Christians find it so hard to tell others about our Savior? Are we too scared to let our light shine before men? Are we too sophisticated to go and make disciples of all nations? Or is it that we don't really believe in the power of God to change lives? Whatever the reason, most Christians are unwilling or unable to share their faith with others. Milton Cunningham, a missionary, shares a time when he was convicted of his own failure to share the good news. He had just settled in for his flight from Atlanta to Dallas, and next to him was this young girl with Down syndrome. She turned to Milton and in all her innocence asked, "Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning?" A little awkwardly, Milton answered, "Well, yes, I brushed my teeth this morning." "Good," the girl responded, "'cause that's what you're supposed to do." And her next question was, "Mister, do you smoke?" And this one was a little easier for Milton. He said, "No." And the little girl answered with approval, "Good, because smoking will make you die." And the third question was even easier to answer. The young girl said, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" And Milton answered with confidence, "Well, yes, I do love Jesus." "Good," she said, "because we're all supposed to love Jesus." And just then, another man settled into the seat beside Milton. And he was intent on reading a magazine. And immediately the girl urged Milton to ask the fellow if he had brushed his teeth that morning. And Milton wasn't about to disturb the stranger, but the girl wouldn't leave him alone. And finally he gave in. He said, "Mister, I don't mean to bother you, but my friend here wants me to ask you if you brushed your teeth this morning." And when the man noticed the girl, he realized that her question was innocent enough, and he answered that, yes, he had brushed his teeth that morning. And with a sinking feeling, Milton realized where this was going. And next, the girl urged him to ask the stranger if he smoked. And Milton and the man went through the second question. And sure enough, the girl wanted Milton to ask the third question, did this man love Jesus? And Milton protested that the question was just too personal and he just wouldn't be comfortable asking it. Ironically, Milton Cunningham was a missionary. But something in him made him uncomfortable about sharing the good news with his fellow passenger. But the young girl persisted, and so Milton said, "Now she wants to know if you love Jesus." And at this, the man's face darkened. And he began to talk about his desire to know God. And he was at a point in his life when he was searching for God, for meaning, for purpose in his life. But he didn't know where to turn. And so Milton Cunningham explained to the man how to have a relationship with God and how to find salvation through Jesus. And he was able to witness to a person in deep need, a person who was in need of God. And it all started with a simple question asked by a child with simple but sincere motives. It's amazing what God can do with anyone who is simply available to walk in Christ's footsteps, available to take a courageous stand when necessary, available to share their faith when the opportunity arises. It's such a simple thing, really. When God calls, all we have to say is, this is Greg Albert, or this is Tom Jacoby, this is Sally Jones, or whatever the name is. I'm available. Are you available?